Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along.
And this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 265. This will be the Richmond Half Marathon 2018 race report. Thanks for coming along. Thanks for downloading the show. Thanks for coming back, of course, if you're a regular listener. And if you're a new listener, I hope you enjoy the show. You can email me at ashlyndave@gmail.com. Let me know where you hail from, what kind of running you do, and anything interesting about you. I love to hear from listeners. I do respond back within a couple days for the most part. I'm trying to do much better at that when people email me because I do like to get the emails, and it's always cool to hear from folks that listen to the show. It is the week of November, I'll just say it's the week of November 10th because that was the day I did the Richmond Half Marathon this past Saturday, so I guess that makes today the 12th. I'm off from work today, so I got a very quiet house, at least for the next 35 to 40 minutes. I don't know how long the show is going to be today, but I got some time to record the podcast. It has to be a quiet house when that happens. I got some jazz on in the background. I just lit a fire in the fireplace. It's kind of a 50-degree day here in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, in central Virginia. We do wood fires in my house. We don't do it to warm the house. We do it really just for atmosphere because wood fireplaces, most of the heat, it actually pulls warm air out of the room from what I've read. But once we get it going pretty good, it heats up the hearth area, and that heat kind of radiates into the room. Not necessarily the heat from the fireplace. Very labor intensive. If you listeners out there, any of y'all do wood fireplaces, and I'm not talking about I don't have an insert. It's just a regular fireplace, and we get wood delivered and stack that, and that's always good for a nice sore legs the next day if you stack wood. But we did a little extra this year. We got additional wood. Got it pretty much lined along the back end of the driveway. I finally got a system where we got tarps and we're covering the wood, and we're going to do it right this year. We'll probably go through about half that, and then the next half will be saved to season throughout the summer, and then we'll use that for next winter, and then we'll rinse and repeat. I'm the one that generally brings the wood in. I'm the one that kind of gets the fire going. Matter of fact, my wife is getting home today about 5:30 from work, and she had hinted this morning how nice it would be to have a fire when she came in the house. So wood fires generally take a couple hours to kind of get things going really good. A lot of attention. I'm hoping I can get the show produced without having to pause and go over and do any attend to the fireplace. But it is nice to have that atmosphere here as I'm producing the podcast. As I said, I did the Richmond Half Marathon this past weekend, November 10th. I've done that race a handful of times, done the marathon there a handful of times. It's a great event. And my plan was to collect some audio clips from the over the course of the morning from runners in our pace group, and I'll talk all about how that worked out. It worked out really good, and I'll talk about that here. That's the main reason for the show. So my intentions were good to collect audio clips to put into the show, but unfortunately I only collected one, and that was the one that I recorded on the way down to the race when I was driving down in the morning. It just wasn't conducive with running with another pacer for the 2.5 hour pace group and then talking to different folks there. And we were carrying this Pixie stick with 230 sign on it the whole time. And I could just easily see me trying to get my digital recorder out of my little running pouch and then dropping it, and the batteries come out, and somebody steps on it, and the whole thing becomes a disaster. So because I really had so much fun talking with some of the other folks that I met and my fellow pacer, I just decided not to do that. A couple funny things happened along the way, which I will share, but let me just at least play the audio clip that I recorded on the way down to the race, because I was fired up. I had a couple cups of coffee, and I was pretty excited. And so let me play that, and then we'll get back to the commentary of the race. All right, it's about 6:01 a.m. on Saturday, November 10th. I'm headed down from the center of the universe to city of Richmond, about 12, 15 miles, depending on where you're going in the city, to pace the 2:30 half marathon group. Pretty excited about that. The weather's perfect. It's 43 degrees on my car's thermometer. It's clear. It's going to be sunny. It rained all day yesterday, and I'm okay with that because it makes it for a nice crisp morning this today.
makes it for a nice crisp morning this morning, I guess, better to just to say today. And I'm pretty excited. I woke up really early, so that's why I'm going down to Richmond way too early. I was going to get up at 5, but I woke up around 4:30, and the dog started stirring a little bit, and I just decided to get up about 4:40 and got everything taken care of. I forgot to put the bib on my shirt last night, so I was fooling with that this morning, and I wasn't getting a good attachment, and it was ticking me off, but I finally got it. I went down to the expo yesterday, and we got these bright yellow pace shirts that say Pacer on the back, so the runners that run in our pace group can find us if they get back or get ahead or whatever. And mine's a little long. I'm an extra large, but the shirt itself was just a tad long for my liking. And I don't tuck an outside shirt in when I run. So I'm just going to be running with a long shirt. And that's just the way it is. They want us to wear the shirts. One of the cool things about being a pacer is that I get to have a private bag check. And I get to go to the same place where people who pay for some kind of premium race experience get to go hang out a block from the start in a warm area, which I presume they'll probably have some coffee and water and private bath. Well, I know they have private bathrooms, so I won't have to wait in line. And I know that opens at 6, so that's one of the reasons I didn't mind going down so early is to just check that out. I've never experienced that before. And apparently it'll be pretty easy to get my bag after the race because it'll be in a different area. I won't have to wait in line. But I'm pretty sure with the pace that we're going to run at 2 hours and 30 minutes, there won't be lines at the pick up bags at the end, I don't think. A lot of it kind of depends. So I'm pretty excited. We had one pacer drop. There was going to be 4 of us, it looked like, and two. Apparently because the 230 registrants waves are so large, they broke that into wave HA and HB. And the waves start at A and go through. And I think there's a couple waves after the one we're scheduled to go in. And the organizer was going to split us into two different, two and two. And I think there was an email this morning, one person had to drop because of a family emergency. So I'm not really sure what I'm going to end up doing. There was an email, they wanted us to email the people who had registered for the pace group and kind of introduce ourselves. And one person kind of took that on, and we sent her or him the information. And I, it said, well, I do a run walk. And so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do that today, if I'm going to only be one of the only pacers in a group. So we'll kind of see how it plays out. I'm going down here for not for me. It's for the people who are trying to make 2 hours and 30 minutes. And if I got to slow down, I'm going to slow down. It's no biggie. I'm happy to help with that. Another reason I'm going down kind of early is I was a little concerned about parking. In the past, Ashland Tom has been the one that has picked me up and driven me, Brian and I, down here. He usually runs the full marathon and paces the 4:15 group. Unfortunately, he had to drop this year, was not able to, not going to be able to do that. And Brian's moved, so as a result, I'm solo. I'm driving down by myself, going to park and drive home. And I don't think I've ever done that. I usually have gotten a ride and then gotten picked up or been picked up by my wife. So we'll see how it plays out today. I'm going to try to get some street parking. I'm not really worried about it. I'd like to get a parking spot near the finish, because if you don't, everything's a walk uphill, and that's the way it's been in the past. Great finish line. I used to not like it, but I do like it now. It's a downhill finish to Browns Island, which is an island in the James River, which goes right through the middle of the city of Richmond. Great finish line. It's a great event altogether. As you can tell, I'm pretty pumped up. I've had a couple cups of coffee, and I'm just ready to go. Although I don't think our wave is going to be crossing the start line till probably 7:40 a.m. So about an hour and 30 minutes from now. I'm going to be really hungry by then. I just know. So here we go. Beautiful morning. I'm glad it's all working out.
And that is it. That's the only audio clip from the day. Sorry. I know in the previous podcast I had mentioned that I was going to kind of attempt to collect some audio clips. And I like doing that from events. That's the way I like to document, audio document what I do. If you've listened to the show a long time, you know that this whole thing, whole podcast started kind of as a keep myself accountable and connecting with people along the way. And it's kind of evolved into documenting some of the events that I do that I have a lot of fun with. And the Richmond Half Marathon is just is a great event. I don't know how many people finished the race. I don't know who won the race. I don't know who got first place, and I'm not gonna. The podcast doesn't kind of doesn't really recap that. But I ran 2:29:26. The goal was to run 2.5 hours, and our me and the other pacer Avi, that's how he spells his name. We finished 2:29:26, or at least I did. I'm guessing he got the same thing. We crossed the line at the same time. And our goal was to make 2:30, so that's 4 seconds away. It's pretty darn close. I had an interesting experience on the way down there, just anything unusual. Just, again, it was the first time I believe that I've ever driven down there by myself, parked, and then get myself back. So I didn't really know where I was going to park, and the morning started a little strange when I went through there's a toll booth you got to go through to get down into Richmond. It's terrible that there's toll booths around here. For the most part, it's to cross the James River. The Richmond metropolitan area, of which Hanover is kind of Hanover County, where the center of the universe is, Ashland, is in north of that. And then south of the river is different counties. And the city of Richmond has several counties around it. And then there's a river goes right through the city, the James River. And ever since I was a little boy growing up in Chesterfield, whenever you had to go north of the river, you had to pay a toll. And then over time, more bridges were built across the river. And I never really understood why there's another toll when you don't even go south of the river to get into downtown. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's on the downtown expressway. Anyway, I went through that, and my smart tag was rejected, and I got the red buzzer. So I'm sure pictures were taken of my license plate, and I'll probably get a ticket that we'll have to appeal. And I talked to my wife, Monica, later about that, and she said, oh, you probably have an old smart tag in your car. I do have a smart tag. And I was like, well, you know, I always thought that if you got a new one, you would know, I don't know. It's a car that we don't drive that much, so it is the old smart tag. So she said she ordered a new one, so we'll have to appeal that. But I was just thinking to myself, I sure hope this is not the beginning of problems to get in to do this race. As a pacer, I would have had my race fee waived, but I had done the early bird special last year. I think I mentioned that in the previous show. Ashland Bryan and I had both done that. Of course, he couldn't run it this year. He had to defer to next year because he moved. But I had already paid for it, and I wasn't going to try to get my money back or anything like that. So I paid, I guess it was $60 last year, early bird special. Here I was thinking, now I'm going to get a ticket for running the toll, and now I'm looking for a parking space down in Richmond. And oh, would you know where I got off at the 7th Street exit, which I thought I'd be real slick and get down there early and get into one of these parking decks real close to the finish. There was some kind of car that was disabled. There was a tow truck blocking everything. It was a complete traffic jam. And I was able to get out of that just because I knew the area. And I just started driving. And then I had my eye on another parking deck. And I was getting ready to turn left there into that when some lady was backing out saying, oh, it's already full. They only have one level open. And I'm thinking, no, there's just no way a public parking deck is going to make that kind of blunder on when everybody's trying to park in downtown Richmond. So I just kept on going straight, and I ended up in an area that I'm familiar with. And I thought, you know what, there might be a parking spot on one of these streets in Shaco Slip. And it's right outside of an Irish bar that I tend to frequent from time to time. And I always park in the same spot because it seems to be like this little area off the beaten path. It's a cobblestone streets area of Richmond. It's a really old area of the city of Richmond. And would you know, I found a spot there, and I was able to get my car kind of tucked in there. And Saturday on weekends, you don't have to pay to park down on street parking. But I didn't know that for certain. That I pulled in behind the car. I got out and asked the guy to pull up. He was obviously getting ready to run the race, and he was sitting in his car with it running. And I said, hey, man, can you pull up a little bit and let me get in behind you? Because I think I can get tucked in behind you. And he did. And I said, hey, man, what's the deal with paying on the weekends? Oh, you don't have to pay on the weekend. And I went and looked at the little machine. And sure enough, I said, you just have to pay Monday through Friday. So I went ahead and left the car there thinking, okay, you know, hopefully I don't get towed, don't get a ticket. I didn't think I would, but then I started thinking, you know what, this would be one of those days where you get a ticket for running the toll, you paid for a race that you're going to, you're out actually going out doing a service to other people, but you paid to do that, whereas you could have gotten it for free if you just had held out. But that, like I said, it's okay. I don't mind paying. And then you get your car towed and or ticketed, which could easily be $200. So none of that happened except for, I haven't gotten a ticket or anything for running the toll yet. We'll get something in the mail, I'm sure. And we'll address it at that time. So, I ran into two young ladies that were, one was out of New Orleans. The other was out of, Lexington, Virginia. They went to Washington and Lee University, and they were asking where the start was. So I said, well, that's where I'm going. So I walked up with them, and it was kind of awkward because we kind of fell into the same stride, and I didn't want them to think I was following them, but we were going the same way. So for the most part, so I eventually just said, yeah, keep going that way, follow all those people. Because I was going over to meet up with the other Pacers at the area called Center Stage, which is a performing arts area, right there, very close to the start. Got in there really easily. I was the first. I'd already heard from one of the Pacers who kind of took it upon himself to send out an email to the people in our Pace group to kind of introduce ourselves. It turns out there were four Pacers after all. I think maybe there were five to begin with, and then one dropped or one got replaced. I'm not really sure how it all worked out. But we had four, so we had two and two, and I got paired up with a guy named Avi who had a lot of pace experience. And we were in a nice warm area with the looked like there might have been some elite runners in that area, not like the people that would win, but people that clearly are, going to be close to winning. And then they kind of had the Pacers at some separate tables, but we had access to coffee, water, juice, bagels. You could toast your bagel. You had fruit. And all this stuff, and I came really close to going over there because I knew I'd be hungry by the time I got down there. And I came very close to going over there and getting something. And I said, no, all I know is if I do that, I'll end up crashing in about an hour, and I'm going to be hurting bad. And I just, let me just go with what I always do. I go out, I don't eat anything before I go. Even when I do double-digit runs, I don't eat anything before I go out. I stopped doing that a long time ago. You know, it's worked really well for me. And I'm a breakfast every day kind of guy. But on days that I'm running at all or running long, I don't eat anything before I go. So I met up with the other Pacers and I saw some other folks that I knew. Got Bart Yasso to sign my race bib. He was there as an ambassador for the Richmond Marathon. Marathoner extraordinaire. And he had his own marker to do autographs. And I had already put my race bib on. I saw him signing somebody else's, and I just kind of scooted in and introduced myself and just said, hey, you know, really, you know, good to see you, nice to meet you, and can I get your autograph too? I know you're real busy and stuff. And he was very, very gracious, and it was kind of cool because so now I've got his autograph on one of my race bibs. I know that sounds kind of silly, but you know, it was neat to get it. And I met up with Alex, Laura, and Avi, and we were going to be the four Pacers for the 2.5 hour group. And Avi had already kind of organized things via email with the four of us, and which was fine with me. Laura did not have any pace experience, but Alex did, and of course Avi did too. And he was going to be pacing the Outer Banks half marathon the following day, which was yesterday. And he was going to be pacing the two-hour group. So this he could obviously handle many different paces. And he picked me to pace the group with him, which was going to be at Corrals, I guess A through H or G or whatever, GH. I can't do the alphabet in front of other people. And we were in HA, and then the other two Pacers were going to be in HB. So we split up, and it was just Abby and I, and we had had the same Pacer shirt on that we were told we were going to get. Got our 2:30 sign, and we headed on out. After four trips to the bathroom, sitting around talking, mingling with some others, I saw my good friend Rob Manolo, who's a local runner. He was pacing. He's going to be a 1:45 pacer for the half marathon, which is very impressive. And he's a fast, very fast runner. And he's an older guy like me. I think I'm 49. I think he's upper 40s. So it's really impressive that he's able to run that fast. I wish I could, but if I was to try to go that fast or train for that, I think I would just be, my body's just not there. I mean, today I weighed myself at the gym. I'm 210 pounds. That's down from like 218 at one point. So I'm pretty pleased with that. And ideally I would get down to 200 by February for the Light 50 Ultra, but that's a whole separate issue to discuss. So off we went. Now, I never really got clear with Avi if he had ever run Richmond anything before. I do not think he had, because he did not know where the starting line was. And the way the Richmond Marathon and associated events work is that the full marathon starts a block to the south of where the half marathon starts, and it just starts on a different street, and then the two courses meet up. And he was looking, I was kind of following him, thinking he knew where he was going. It turns out that we were looking for our wave on Grace, and I was like, no, we're over on Broad Street, a block to the north. And so finally we got turned up that way, and we stayed together, and we found our corral, and we got in there. And at that point in time, Avi was on, man. He was getting, you know, look, we were right at the front where the rope is for our corral, and he was turning around, and he was asking people, who's with the 230 group? Who's going to be with us? And just starting to meet and greet, and we were starting to meet people, and it just kind of blew me away a little bit how outgoing all of a sudden he was. And it was just really cool, because I am not immediately like that. And so I was kind of the straight man, while he was the one cracking all the jokes. And we got off to a great start. He reminded me to cut my garment on to make sure I started that, which I did. There was the one that I had borrowed from Brian. And so I wasn't really that familiar with it. And everything was really small on the screen, which proved to be a little bit of a downfall for me. But I did get it started when we went over the starting line. And, you know, Avi was just on from second one. I mean, this guy, I had a great time with him. And he grew on me as the morning went on. He kept things very upbeat. He knew when to slow down. He knew when to speed up. He kept the reason is because at for some reason around mile, I think it was two or something, I hit a button on the Garmin that I'd borrowed from Brian, and it stopped. And it just but this was that was after I had to go to the bathroom, so I jumped in one of the I jumped in one of the Porta Johns, and I just said, "Hey man, I'll catch up to you. We're still right here at the beginning part of the race. It's gonna be no problem. I'll be right back." And I go in the Porta John, and would you know, the auto pause thing cut on. I meant to go online and look at the owner's manual and read how to cut that off, because I noticed it had done it when I was doing a training run with it. So at that point, I was just kind of screwed. The pace band I was wearing around my wrist. And get this, Avi had made pace bands for, I think he made about 20 or 25 of them. And he was handing them out to people at the start, anybody that wanted one. I mean, just a great guy. He talked about how he was a project manager or something, and this is what he does. But I just thought that was real generous on his part. And he had something to say for everything. But it wasn't overbearing to the point where it was annoying. I mean, if you know what I mean, it was, it's like he knew exactly what he was doing. And I just knew, man, I'm just going to stay with this guy and I'll have a good time with him. And I'll be able to help some other people along the way too, just kind of feeding off him. But the whole auto pause thing with the Garmin just kind of screwed me up. And then I cut it off by accident somehow. I'm not really sure how that happened. So what I did is I restarted it at mile three. So my whole tracking of the whole half marathon on my pace band was 3 miles off, because I still wanted to be able to know what our mile pace was, because I knew Avi wasn't going to be with me the whole day. At some point, he was going to have to go to the bathroom, or what if he had, you know, what if he had some kind of issue where he got hurt or tripped or had some kind of health, you know, anything can have any kind of health problem or something. Anything can really happen. So you have to be prepared. And so that's why I got the Garmin started again and worked fine from the end. But he kept us in check each mile. We did a check with the pace, we're supposed to be at. There were some times we were ahead, sometimes we were behind. I would really like to know. In fact, I might email him and ask him what our mile splits were for the whole race, because I think they were pretty close on. And there were some times we were able to walk through the water stops, and we met a lot of people along the way that were in our pace group. I just want to mention a few of them. We met Jen from New Jersey right there at the beginning, and over the course of we didn't get everybody's names that were running with us, because sometimes you look over your shoulder, they're there. You look over your other shoulder, they're not there, what have you. But met Megan out of Maryland, Jennifer. I can't remember or did not get where she was from. Deb out of Pittsburgh. And Deb, hopefully you're listening to the show and found the podcast, because I told her about it. In fact, we told everybody about it, so maybe I'll get another 8 or 9 downloads. But she had run the Pittsburgh 10 miler the week before, and she was down here because she has a brother that lived in the city of Richmond, and she was staying with him. And matter of fact, we saw him along the course. Unfortunately, didn't see Deb at the end. At one point, I think around mile 10 or 11, she said she had hit the wall and she was kind of struggling. And as much as you really wanted just to slow down and walk with her and encourage her, you can't change the pace, because we're the ones that have to stay. We're at the 230. We're going to go. If you've been with us from the start line, we're going to go across at 230, and we were only 4 seconds off. So, I mean, that's about as close as you can get, I guess, unless it was, you know, 1 second off. And unfortunately, didn't see her at the end, and we waited around at the finish line a little bit. So maybe she walked a bit. But there was one point in time where she said she was really hurting, and I told her, I said, look, I said, we're running a pretty slow pace right here. I said, why don't you pick it up for about 50 to 70 yards and run ahead, and then just walk a bit, and we'll catch up to you and just reevaluate at that point. And that's what she did, and then we did catch up to her, and then we ran with her for a little bit. But unfortunately, she trailed off at the end, and I'm not sure how she finished, and I don't even know how to look up her time. Hopefully she did finish. I'm sure she did. And towards the end, we met Gladys and her running partner, whose name I did not catch, and didn't really get from where they were from. They kept saying, we're going to stay with y'all. Y'all are funny. And then I said, look, we got to slow down because we're several seconds ahead. We can't keep, you know, can't catch up with y'all. And they just went ahead, but we did run with them for a while. They're very nice. And so we got through, Avi had a beer. He just decided he was over in the north side of Richmond is where it's kind of a trendy neighborhood, and it's a lot of younger families there. It's always been that way ever since I've done the Richmond Full, the Richmond Half. Those folks are out there all day long. Some of them get little fireplaces in their front yard, you know, those little portable fireplace things. They sit there and they drink, and then they have their own water stops and stuff in the median of one of these roads that's in their neighborhood, and they got their own music out there, and it's a really cool place. There's bourbon shots, there's beer. Avi went back. We were running. He said, they got beer over there. I said, oh, yeah, they're always going to have beer through here. So he ran off the course, went and got a beer in a solo cup, and then ran up to me. And he's like, hey, man, you got to help me finish this. So I took a couple sips just to be social and have fun. I'm not one of those that can really do that during a race. I think I might have done that during the Blue Ridge Marathon with Sandy some years back. Sandy, I know you listen. I can't remember if we – remember that top of that mountain? There was that neighborhood, that little cul-de-sac of homes on the top of that mountain after we climbed that darn mountain, and those people had a bar going in the cul-de-sac area. It was kind of weird. So just followed Avi's lead all day, and he got us down towards the final push there, and we were a little ahead, so he was able to kind of run back and encourage a lot of people to, you know, hey, you know, if you want to beat 230, you know, get going. And we still had the 230 covered. We might have been maybe a little ahead, and we probably did lose some people that were trying to stay with us. But here's the thing that happened to me. Avi was great. It was just a great experience meeting him and running with him all day and just talking about different stuff. He had he's a weight loss story, just a wonderful story, which he decided to tell everybody without anybody, no feedback or anything. He just said, okay, who wants to hear my running story? And he just started telling it. And this guy had a lot, he was loud, so you could really hear his voice, and he just kept everything upbeat, kept me upbeat. I never really got into a bad spot. We were running 11:26 pace for the most part. But what happened to me was that I had a hard time towards the end running that slow, because I normally, when I do the run walk, I'm not running that slow when I'm running, and then I walk, and I maintain that pace with him all morning, and boy was I sore as can be the next day. And here it is Monday, 2 days later, I'm still really sore, a lot sore, and it surprised me how sore I am. I felt like I've run a whole marathon. Well, anyway, we finished with the time that we were expected to do, and we hung around the finish line for a little while. I was just seeing if maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes to see if anybody we had been running with came through. And would you know it, a couple people whose names we had not gotten along the way came through and thanked us. And it was just really cool. One lady said, I was running behind y'all all morning. I didn't get up to talk to y'all, but I was laughing at what Avi was saying. And you know, thank you so much and blah, blah, blah. And that was just cool to hear because I knew, you know, that there's people that just kind of hang behind you that don't want to really be engaged in whatever's going on with the Pacers. I experienced that some years ago when I ran the Baltimore Marathon. I was with the 430 pace group, and I wasn't interested in being, you know, best friends or buddy-buddy with the two guys that were pacing. I was a very inexperienced runner at the time, except for doing lots of training runs, but I had all, that was my second marathon. And so I just kind of hung back and stayed with them as long as I could. Eventually I saw them go up ahead and I finished like at 4:30, 31 seconds. It was like a race in my head. I wasn't able to, anyway, that's a whole separate, I might've had a podcast about that some years ago. I don't even remember. I have to look that up, but so there might've been some people like that. And so, that was a serve, you know, you don't know, you can't really measure the amount of people that you might've helped because they either didn't tell you or they just knew that you were 230. I mean, we had these completely obnoxious lime green reflective shirts on that said Pacer on the back, and we were holding the sign. And we got into the corral right at the beginning, and Avi was telling everybody we're the Pacers. So it was pretty clear who we were. And so I'm sure that there are those that just kind of hang back, that catch up to you, they fall back, get water, go to the bathroom, but they see you up ahead. And so they know if they're going to be close, they're going to get that 230. And we heard from some other folks that said, oh, I didn't get 230, but I got 230 and something. And that was really cool. So we went, made our way over to Browns Island to the premium tent where they had, if you had the premium package, if you paid for that, you got the, we didn't go in there, but that's where our bag was. Easy bag pickup. Met up with the other Pacers, Alex and Laura. We took a couple group pictures. Alex looked like he was pretty whipped, and he went ahead and lied down on the ground, which is what I wanted to do. And we wanted to get a group photo. And so we said, no, Alex, you don't have to get up. Just stay right where you are. We'll take a knee. And we took a photo, and eventually everybody went their separate ways. But what I thought was really cool, and the feeling I had and the experience I had was something that I've had very similar when I've done some of the ultra marathons that I've done, is how you make a connection with a complete stranger on race day. And then you go your complete separate ways, but you feel like you've known that person for a long time just because you have this common interest. And I couldn't believe that Avi was going to pace a 2-hour group the next day. There's no way I could have even run a half marathon yesterday because I was just too sore. Of course, I didn't train at 11:26 pace without any breaks. He clearly is he's a madman, and he's done a lot of this. I think he said he paced Shamrock. He's done. He lives in the Virginia Beach area, and I'm sure our paths will cross again. So, Avi, I don't know if you're going to download the show or not. I know I told you about the podcast, but I really wanted to thank you for a great morning, and it was just a great experience. I had so much fun. I'm not sure if I want to do it next year or not because of being so sore, but I could obviously train for that. And if I was to train for that, I'm sure I could do it. Or ahead of time, let people know, because I couldn't do the run walk. It just wasn't going to be feasible for he and I to be separate and then keep meeting up and confusing people. And then with me and my the Garmin issue that I had, it just wasn't going to work. And I was there for others. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe come around next year, Ashland Bryan is going to be doing the half. We'll see what we decide to do. It might be a situation where it was just kind of a one and done and maybe pick it up again. You do get a free entry if you do it. You know, that would be cool, I guess. I didn't even take advantage. Apparently, there were parking passes available, too, for us Pacers that wanted to park in this area that was for premium people. And I thought that was for going to the expo. When I saw that email, I should have paid more attention. But the parking thing worked out for me as well. So, overall, just a great experience, like I've said. I just can't say enough. So I do have, I think, one or two emails and email bags for the email bags section of the show, but I want to get into two other things first before I do that. I want to give a map run update. The map run is the thing I copied from Sandy, who listens to the show. She ran every street in her town or in her city and mapped it out and highlighted and this and that. And I thought that was a great idea. So we started doing that down here in Ashland with my running group. And we decided that it would only count if all four of us ran. And my running group is Ashlyn Tom, Ashlyn Bob, Ashlyn Brian, and then me, Ashlyn Dave. And so everything was going great until Ashlyn Brian announced that he was going to be moving to Atlanta, where we weren't going to be able to finish this. So we had to do a couple dotted line runs just to say we did them, and we were going to try to get some kind of fat head cutout of Ashlyn Brian, and then the three of us would run with the fat head cutout just to say, well, he was with us in spirit. But we might, when he comes, he's going to be coming back, I think, for Thanksgiving and Christmas, because his wife still lives in the town until they do the full move, because he's got two kids in college, and they're going to do the full move, I think, late January, February, I think. And so we might be able to get these runs done, and by then it'll have been a year since we started the project. So I'm optimistic that we'll get everything done, every street in the town of Ashlyn run. There are some streets that are a little questionable, meaning they're kind of private. We have brown sign and green sign streets, and the green signs are the ones that are maintained by the town government, and then the brown signs are private drives. But they're not really private. They're not, you know, posted no trespassing. They're just not maintained by the town. But there, people have addresses on that road. And if they're on the map that we have, then we run them. And so we've been down a couple of those where you get down maybe not quite a quarter mile, and then you get all these signs saying posted no trespassing, and you know there's more houses down there. And we figured that's where, you know, that's pretty conspicuous posting in Virginia. That's what's required. And so we decided, you know, we don't need to go down that whole road because there's, we're not going to sit there and, you know, break the law just because it's on the map. And there's really no way to know on the map how far it goes anyway. So we figure the road goes to where the signs that say don't go any further, and then that's where we turn around and go back. And we've done a whole bunch of those, and we've covered the town really well. And I'm hoping that we'll get, once we get it done, we're going to get the map framed, and we're going to see if we can put it up in our, see if the guy who runs the place where we have breakfast every Saturday will let us hang it up where, in that little cove area where we have our breakfast. We'll have to wait and see. And then one, I did get an email from Shelly a little while back. She had mentioned how, in reference to the odor, shoe odor, and she had suggested using the essential oils. So I talked to my wife about that, and I am at the point now with 92 miles on my new shoes, the Ultra Paradigms, where I noticed the odor today. I ran 3 miles this morning with Ashlyn Bob, and I feel much better. I needed to get out there and do that. Then I went to the gym, too, and worked out with weights. I'm in one of these manic days, so that's why I'm doing the podcast. As you can tell, I've been talking nonstop for, I don't know, 30 minutes. I get that way sometimes, and that's usually, those are the best days to do the podcast, when I can kind of keep, maintain some momentum. Anyway, so Monica gave me some of the little oil bottles that we use. What we do is we have these scent trays that we put on top in some of our lamps, and she does all this kind of stuff. And she gave me one of those for my shoes. And so Shelly, I want to let you know that I'm attempting that, remedy the problem with your suggestion. And one of them was like it combined with the shoe odor, was like a mentholatum smell. So I guess that's anything's better than the shoe odor. And I'm a little surprised that with the new shoes that I got, with only 92 miles on them now, they're already starting to have a kind of an odor. But that's like I said, that's the problem that I've been having all along. So thanks for the tip. I'm going to be working on that. And I do, Shelly's a regular longtime listener to the show, and that's always very much appreciated. All right, let's check on the email bag section of the show. I got one from Bruce and might have one more. I think I did hear from Dr. Smitty. Let's check that out. All right, heard from Dr. Smitty, regular listener to the show, longtime listener and good friend. Greg and I have had several beers together over the course of our friendship. We met through the podcast. He's out of the Chesapeake area. He paces the Dismal Swamp Stomp half marathon down there. He's done that several times before. He sent me a message the other day, you know, have fun pacing Richmond, or she'll do great. And he said he's always stressed pacing a race. He said it was always more stress pacing a race than when he was doing his own race, because you have people relying on you. And he said I'm sure all of your group appreciated you. He said he loves how all the happy people at the end that reach their goal, and he's a part of that. And Greg, I agree with you. We, I don't think we had as a large group that you probably did in your pace group, because I know you paced a much faster group. I'm 150. Is that what you paced? I'm just going on memory here. I know you paced something that's sub 200 or sub 2 hours. Yeah, that's it was a little stressful knowing that you had to, no matter what, really, you had to run the same thing, and you had to kind of be there for people. And I would say I think more stress was on my partner, because he was the one that was kind of running things. I was so new, but now I know what to do, and I certainly would be able to do it on my own if I had to do it again, or if I had to lead a new person, I'd be happy to do that. But it's really nice to hear from you, Greg. I do appreciate that. Hopefully our paths are going to cross soon. I'm trying to think what in the near future could we both be the same race at. I think you're going to be attempting something big in April, but it's going to be down your way. Maybe I can get you out for the Light to Light 50 down in Outer Banks. Maybe, I know that's not too far from where you live. Maybe that's going to be February 2nd. Maybe if you have time, you could come down there and run with me for a little bit. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. It's a little ways off. But good to hear from you. Always appreciate that, Greg. Always. Heard from Bruce McIntosh. Bruce, long-time listener to the show. I remember I've emailed with him some years back. He says, "Hey, Dave, want to say another good podcast this month. Good luck pacing. I think you have the right mentality. You should do a good job." He says he meant to write last month about running groups. His group is always revolving. Originally started at a running store near Youngstown, Ohio, but after a couple of years, the store closed. But the group of runners had become friends even beyond running, and they decided to keep going. They started a Facebook group called Just a Running Group, and they post running schedules a couple times a week. And really the big news from Bruce is that he's started a podcast. It's called Just a Runner's Podcast, and that's J-U-S-T-A. Runner's Podcast. He says he's not sure where he's going with it, but he likes to make it, and he likes to talk about running. Take care and good luck with the upcoming spring. So what I did is I went and found his podcast, and it's on Podbean. It's Just a Runner 65.podbean.com. I'll put a link at ashlanddave.podbean.com if you get the podcast that way, or if you just Google J-U-S-T-A-R-U-N-N-E-R 65 Podbean, you're going to get it. He's got 8 episodes out. He definitely needs some more downloads. So if you're interested, looks like most of his shows, I can't tell how long they are just by looking at them. I'm looking at the website now. But he's got he get a couple episodes out a month. So, and I did listen to the most recent one. And I'm going to download that and put that on my iPod. And what I'll probably do is go back and load the rest of them just to get an idea of what he's doing. He's a marathoner. He did the Detroit Marathon last month, and he's got a race report about that. And I think I might have heard him say in one of his shows that he was a grandfather. Is that true, Bruce? I think he's older, a little bit older than me. And if I'm wrong about that, Bruce, sorry, man, but... thanks for the email, and I'm going to check out your podcast, and I'm happy to talk about it with other runners, because I know you've been listening to a long time, and it's always good to hear from folks, and thank you for the nice compliments and email. I certainly appreciate that. Woo! All right, got another show out, 2 out for this month. It's been a long time since I've done that, I think. If you've come to the point where you're listening this long, I appreciate you hanging in there with me. Hope you enjoyed the show. You can reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That gets you on the inside. I'd love to hear from listeners. Please email me. Like I said earlier, let me know where you hail from, what kind of running you do, and just, you know, what maybe something interesting about you that other listeners might know. If there's something in the email that you say that you do not want me to share with the podcast listeners, then just mention that, and I'll certainly honor that. Otherwise, I do like to mention folks' emails. But if you have something that you say that you don't want, and I don't use last names. I think I goofed and used Bruce's. I don't think he minds because he has a podcast, but I don't use last names for the most part either, except for goofing on Bruce's. Sorry about that. Okay, well, this is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week. And thank you, veterans.